Morning. Today's daf in Nida is Ayin Beis. We start today with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. And one more round of discussing Nida Viziva. This is the last Mishnah, this is the last Sugya between today and tomorrow. So we're going to be finishing, completing the Masechta Mirza Hashem. I heard they're wrapping up the Shas and starting on Sunday. I heard such a rumor. Okay. Apparently everyone also heard it. Okay, a woman's a nida for 7 days, and then the next 11 days. Next 11 days are Yemei Ziva. We've discussed this time and again. This has been, obviously, the cornerstone of the entire Masechta. The Yemei Ziva, so I'm going to go over the rules outside, and then we're going to begin the Mishnah. A woman who is a Zava, so that means to say she has a discharge of blood that comes out anytime from day 1 through 11. Let's talk day 1, just make it nice and simple. So if she has a discharge on day 1 of her Yemei Ziva, so she's now what's described in Halacha as a Zava Katana. As a Zava Katana, she's Tamei, she's an Avatuma. She cannot be with her husband. Being with her husband would be an Issa D'Oraisa. He would be considered like a Bol Nida if he has relations with her. And that's her during the day, day number 1. Now, how does she mitire herself? She's a Zava Katana. She only needs what's called Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom. What she needs to do is the next day, she needs to literally sit in cleanliness, Shomeris Yom, and Keneged Yom against that one day. So that means day 2, if she is, she has no discharge on day 2, and important, she goes to the mikvah, so then she would be Tahor Lagamre. Now, when is she going to go to the mikvah? So as we discussed time and again, for a Zava, you go to the mikvah during the daytime. So that means that on day 2, sometime during day 2, and it doesn't matter when, as long as you've experienced some of the day in Tahara, you go to the mikvah, and then you have to experience the rest of the day in Tahara, and then that night, she could be together back with her husband. Let's say she sees on day 1 and 2, so she's still only a Zava Katana. So that only means now that day 3 is the day of Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom. Day 3, she will experience the day with no discharge, if she experiences the day with no discharge, and she tovels in the mikvah on day number 3, then that night, she could be with her husband. And this is 1 or 2 days of consecutive bleeding during her Yemei Ziva. She is a Zava Katana. If she experiences bleeding on 3 consecutive days, 1, 2, and 3, now in Halacha, she's referred to as a Zava Gedola. As such, she's going to have to see 7 clean days in order for her to be Tahora, and additional to that, on day 8, she's going to bring Karbanos to the base of Mikdash in order to allow herself to go back into the base of Mikdash and for her to be able to eat Karbanos. Okay. This is the Zava Katana versus the Zava Gedola. Just to illustrate this as an example, let's say she saw bleeding on day 1 and 2. Okay. And now day 3, she tovels in the mikvah. Let's say she doesn't complete day 3, but sometime in the afternoon she discharges again. Obviously, the tefillah that she did is totally negated. And now she's a Zava Gedola. Or if I can illustrate the following scenario, let's say she bleeds on day 1. Day 2 now, morning starts off clean. She tovels in the mikvah, and then she bleeds later that afternoon. That bleeding later in that afternoon totally negates her tefillah, and now she is a Zava Katana. And she'll have to wait the next day in cleanliness in order for her to resolve her Zava Katana status. Okay, everything so far pretty clear. Now, let's move to day 11. I'm still doing all this outside, and we're going to see all this inside. Day 11 is an interesting day. And by the way, day 10 is also interesting, but that's going to be for tomorrow's discussion. So day 11 is an interesting day because day 11, here's what we know. We know that tomorrow is day 12. Now, that could be the smartest thing I said this morning. Could very well be. But day 12, we know halachically, is very significant because day 12 is no longer her Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva caps at day 11. So day 11, she has a discharge on day 11. She is a Zava Katana for that day. But the next day, if she bleeds, that's not going to combine with day 11. Day 12 and day 11 are 2 totally different days. Day 12 represents the beginning of her Nida cycle. So if she experiences bleeding on day 11, she is a Zava, but the next day, that is not Ziva discharge. If she bleeds the next day, that's going to be Nida discharge. So now, with that in mind, so it gets really confusing, complicated, and controversial. Well, that's what we're going to be starting our Mishnah. That transition from day 11 to day 12, meaning let's say she saw day 11, only day 11, and now she transitions into day 12. So I know that it's impossible for her to become a Zava Gedola, On the other hand, what is going to be her status that night from day 11 to day 12? What's going to be her status the next morning when she's done a little bit of Shmira? She tovels in the mikvah on day 12. That's a given. Is she now, can she be with her husband immediately after Tvila? Well, she has to wait till the rest of the day. Why? You only wait till the rest of the day because you may become a next level Zava. But if she sees later that day, she's going to become a Nida. So we're going to be starting this morning in our Mishnah in terms of what exactly happens to this woman who sees on day 11 and how exactly is that transition looking from day 11 to day 12. Okay. That's the dilemma that we're going to be discussing in the Mishnah. And let's begin. Mishnah starts off. Haro Yom HaChadasar. So she sees on day 11. V'tavla la'erev u'mishamsha. Now she tovels that evening and she's with her husband. Both of those she should not have done. She shouldn't have tovel that evening. She shouldn't have been with her husband that evening, but she did both. So Beit Shammai says she is now. I'm sorry. I want to correct one of my pronouns. They are mitame mishka v'moshe. Mitam in is in the plural. They're mitame mishka v'moshe. That means to say like this. According to Beit Shammai, there's still a shmira that's required. Meaning the next day she has to be shomer yom keneged yom. And Shemar Yom Keneged Yom, meaning that at least in the morning, she has to be free and clear of any discharging. Okay. Now, that position in of itself is so interesting. In other words, the next day, it's impossible for her to become a Zava the next day. The next day, she's going to be a Nida if she discharges the next day. Beit Shammai says that's true, but still there is a requirement of Shmira. According to Beit Shammai, if they have relations that night, even if she told them the mikvah that night, the night of the 12th, they have relations that night, it's not as if, it is that they are now, he is now being Baal Zava. He's having relations with a Zava. And therefore, Mitame Mishka V'moshav, again, what's the status of a Zava in terms of her Tuma? She's an Ava Tuma. And anything she sits on is going to be Tame to the same degree that she is. And on top of that, he's considered a Baal Zava. He's having relations with a Zava. He too is Mitame Mishka V'moshav. Furthermore, the Chayva Karban. Meaning because they had relations that night, the night of the 12th, and because according to Beit Shammai, there's a Shmira requirement, that night she's a Zava, so that means that they had relations that night, they are required to bring a carbon. Now, if they did it intentionally, knowing full well exactly what they did, obviously that's amazing, then there's no carbon that's required. The Mishnah is just simply accentuating the idea that if it was Bishogeg, so then there is a carbon that's required. Okay. That Adkan, that's the opinion of Beit Shammai. Now, Beis Hillel Omer Peturim in a carbon. Now, Beis Hillel says there's an exemption of the carbon. Now, Beis Hillel mentions nothing about Tumah. And as Rashi points out over here, a number of points within the Shita of Beis Hillel. Top Rashi on the Amud. Delo by Shimur, according to Beis Hillel, Shimur is not required. And you understand, meaning I can explain Beis Hillel's position reasonably well. Because the next day she's not going to become a Zava. She can't be a Zava the next day. And so therefore, for Beis Hillel, 11, since it's the end of her Yemei Ziva, so therefore there's no Shmira requirement. So fine. So that means that that night, if they have relations with one another, so he is not being Boel a Zava, because the Ziva now has formally concluded. And so therefore there's no carbon requirement. What about Tumah? So Beis Hillel doesn't mention anything about Tumah. It seems like he agrees by Tumah. Rashi says he does, but obviously not Midinda Araisa. Since Beis Hillel does not require Shimur, so that means to say that her Ziva now has come to a conclusion. Midda Araisa, there's no longer any Tumah by her. She's no longer a Zava. However, the Chachamim extended the Tumah that night. Why did they do that? Again, I turn your attention to Rashi. Avalainyan Tumah, Moda Midurabbanan Lahachmir. So this is a din de rabbanan, a chumah de rabbanan, a tumah de rabbanan that she's going to be tameh that night. And the reason why it says Rashi gzera yom yud aleph atu toch yud aleph yom. De tumah bo'ala midaraisa achitis broksas yom amacharas ki yud aleph lekamen mi yiyelach. So we're going to learn the drasha. The drasha probably we're going to get to tomorrow. But meanwhile, if she saw within 11 days, so obviously there is a din de araisa of shmira. And that means that that night, within the 11 days, the night after she saw, so that's a Tumah D'Araisa. So because we want people to get into that frame of mind, even if she sees on day 11, even though on day 11 there is no Shmira requirement, but the Chachamim instituted a Tumah D'Rabbanan so that nobody would ever confuse day 11 versus seeing within day 11. Okay, so Adkan, this is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. She saw on day 11, she tovel in the mikveh that night. According to Beis Shammai, she still is a zava. There still is a shmirah requirement. She had to have gone to the next day and seen the morning free and clear of any discharge. Then her ziva has come to a conclusion, whereas according to Beis Hillel, no. Her ziva status really ends that night. May ikur hadin, or according to the strict letter of the Torah law, she could have tovel that night and been with her husband. But the Chachamim instituted a Tumah Derabbanan for the remainder of that evening, and only the next morning could they be together. Okay, now, the next morning. So now, a woman who saw on day 11, and now we do move on to the next morning, and that's the next case of the Mishnah. So let's say, day 11 she saw, they didn't have relations that night. She didn't tovel in the mikveh that night. She went to the next day. The next day she started off being free and clear of discharge. Oh, so now she had shmirah. And then she even toveled in the mikvah. Now, of course, if this was within 11 days, as we're going to see in just a moment in the Mishnah, so obviously they cannot have relations for the remainder of that day. They have to go through the rest of the day where she is free and clear of discharge. And that night, and only that night, can they have relations. But this, we started here in the case, in the Mishnah's case, we start here in this Mishnah from a complicated standpoint where this is not Toch Yud Aleph, this is now day 12. So, she toveled in the mikvah that morning after being free and clear of discharge that morning, and then they have relations. What's the status? So, Tavla b'yom shal achar v'shim shas beisa v'achar kach rasa Beit Shammai omrim mitamim mishka v'moshav u'petur min ha-karban. So Beit Shammai says that there is no, I'm going to start with the karban. There is no karban. And the reason why there is no karban is because Ziva now has come to an end. She did the shmira, she was shomer yom keneged yom, and she toveled in the mikvah. You normally have to wait till the rest of the day. Yeah, that's if you're Toch Yud Aleph. But this is Acher Yud Aleph. You don't have to wait till the rest of the day. So there is no karban. However, Tumas Mishka V'moshav. Why? How? How could there be a split between there is no karban, but Tumas does extend? So you have to say, and Rashi says this, that this is a Din D'Rabbanan. The Chachamim were concerned that if they freed her from her Tumah, even though Min HaTorah she is free from her Tumah, but if they freed her from her Tumah, this will be very confusing. People will not be able to appreciate and understand, oh, the reason why the Tumah goes away with her Tefillah is because this is day 12. And they'll just simply take this idea that they have, that once she goes into the mikvah, the Tumah's gone, and they're just going to apply it to cases where she saw B'soch Yud Aleph. And so therefore the Chachamim extended the Tumah for the rest of the day. Now Beis Hillel Omrim, Hari Zeh Gargaran. Now, Beis Hillel says that this behavior is of poor character character traits. They shouldn't be having relations that day. Now, Beis Hillel obviously has her terminating her ziva. The truth of the matter is, as we already pointed out, Beis Hillel has her terminating her ziva already the previous night. The previous night, she was already no longer a zava. Remember, this was day 11 that she saw. That night already, she's no longer a zava. Beis Hillel doesn't require shomer yom keneged yom. So, from a carbon standpoint, obviously, Beis Hillel holds that there's no carbon. Even from a Tumah standpoint, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that once she goes the next morning, and once she tovels in the mikveh, there's no longer any Tumah, not even midrabanan. But still, Hari Zeh Gargaran. But the Chachamim do not approve of that behavior. And why don't they approve that behavior? Because, again, of the confusion. Consider. This time around, she saw on day 11, they're having relations now on day 12. But day 12 is not one of the Yemei Ziva, that's why it's okay. But people will get confused. Well, if last in go around, they had relations immediately after she told them the mikvah, the next time, where let's say she discharged on day 3 of her Yemei Ziva, so on day 4, she'll tell them the mikvah and they'll have relations. And obviously, this kind of behavior will lead to significant problems. So, but nevertheless, according to Beis Hillel, they didn't extend the Tumah, post-Tvila, but still, the behavior itself is censored behavior. It's not appropriate behavior. Umodim. And now we move on to the Mishnah. Now, here's where Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are in full agreement. If, let's say, the Re'iyas Zav occurred any day in between from day 1 to day... Now, I'm right now going to say day 10, but I'm going to also... I'm going to also caution that later on we're really going to be discussing day 10. Day 10 is almost as interesting as day 11, maybe even more interesting. But let's just right now for say 1 through 10. Okay, fine. So if she, and just to keep it simple, let's say day 1. So she sees on day 1 So everyone's in agreement that she sees on day one, that night, she's still a Zava. She needs Shmir Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. And so therefore, if they have relations that night, the night of the second day, so Mitame Mishka V'moshav, meaning she's a full-fledged Zava. And there's a Chiv Karban, assuming they did a B'shogeg. Fine. Tavla B'yom Sha'achar V'shimsha. Now, also another point of agreement between B'sham and B'sala. Let's say she saw on day one. Next morning, she wakes up free of discharge. She tovos in the mikvah. They have relations. Husband and wife have relations. So this is tarbus ra'a. Now, tarbus ra'a also is a way of saying this behavior is perfectly censored by the chachamim. Should not behave in such a manner. Umagan obilas and tulin. Do you know why? So it's halachic Russian roulette. Because consider now the following. So fine, she was shomer yom keneged yom. And she tovos in the mikvah. Right? And that resolves her ziva. Yes and no. Why yes and no? Because even though she did successfully did shmira, and we say regarding her shmira that she did that morning, miksas a yom kikulo, it's as if she now observed the entire day in shmira, and she tovled in the mikvah. However, any issue, any discharge that she has in the balance of the day after she was tovled in the mikvah is going to negate her tefillah, like we said in the intro to the Mishnah. It's going to negate her tefillah, and that means now that this is a hamshacha of the ziva that she had yesterday. This now serves now as day two. Even though she woke up with having done shmira, even though she toveled in the mikvah, if she sees later that day, that will undo the tefillah, and that will make her now a continued zava. Now, this is only day two, so she's a zava katana, but so what? She's a zava. And so that means now that if they had relations immediately after the tefillah, well, there's more of the day left. There is a possibility that she will be discharged sometime in the balance of the day, and that will negate her tefillah, and that means that retroactively now the relations that they had are in fact relations with the zava retroactively. And so having relations after her having gone to the mikvah is risky behavior, and the chachamim say that's why the chachamim described it as tarbus ra'a, as really improper behavior. Tana Rabbanan. The tarbus ra certainly is worse, because the tarbus ra means that this could lead to a real isser and a real karban, as opposed to the gargaron, where it's not going to go anywhere. Meaning, if she discharges later that day, it's not retroactive, but it just means that this behavior is censored by the chachamim because it would lead to scenarios where yud aleph atu toch yud aleph.
After the 11th day, if she's a nida in the 11th day, she does not need a shemeres yom keneged yom.
If she's not a nida, I'm being specific about the language.
What does that mean? She's not a nida.
During 11 days, she's only a zava.
She saw the 11th day.
Yeah.
She does not need a shemeres yom.
Right. Beis Shammai says she does.
Okay. And what is that any different if she saw gimel yom, she saw zuva gedoyla 4, 5, and 6? And now she has to count 7.
Right.
So why the last 3 days she's still in the tumor?
I'm not understanding. I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. It's my issue. I don't understand. So afterwards, come to me and we'll discuss some more. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We start with the brisa. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's a long brisa. It's going to take us more than halfway down the Amud. The Braisa is going to not give us new information, but the Braisa over here is going to go over the machlokas we saw together with Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, and a little bit of dialogue. So we get these benefits with the Braisa. Occasionally in the Mishnah, we have dialogue between the Tanaim, but more often than not in the Mishnah, the Mishnah just simply gives us the Shitas, and then we have to try to make sense of the Shitas. But sometimes, and this is a classic scenario where the Mishnah gives us the Shitas, and the Braisa that we're about to start gives us a back and forth of dialogue, so we get to understand a little bit better what each of their shitas are based on. They both agree that when she toveled that night of a zava. Now, when we say zava over here, we don't mean where she discharged on day 11, because that was the complicated scenario where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do not agree. But rather, the place where they do agree is when it's besochid aleph. And so, therefore, the tefillah that night does nothing for a ziva. She ain't a tefillah. It's not going to be a tefillah because, again, if she sees within the 11 days, there is a requirement of shmira. So that means that the next morning has to be free and clear of discharge in order for her ziva to be already partially resolved. Now, remember, she also has to tov in the mikvah. But until she does shmir in the morning, she's still a zava. And also another point of agreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that is that even if she tovels in the mikvah that night, again, we're talking about Besoch Yad Aleph, and they have relations. They're both Tameh. She's Tameh. She's Tameh because she's still a zava. He's Tameh because he was Boel a zava. And there would be a chiv karban on the fact that they had relations while she was a zava. Again, that's where they perfectly agree. Lo nechlegu ela biyom yud alef. They only disagree about the 11th day. Biyom yud alef yom. She Beis Shammai omri metamei mishka v'moshe v'chayem v'karban. Because according to Beis Shammai, there is the requirement of shmira even in such a scenario. Where that means that according to Beis Shammai, that night, even though it's the night of the 12th, and even though the 12th is no longer her yemei ziva, but there still is a shmira requirement. According to Beis Shammai, that night she's still a zava. And if they have relations that night, even if she told them the mikvah and they have relations that night, she is a zava, and that means he was bol zava, and they be chayv a karban, and they're both tamei mishka v'moshav, or beisil patur mi karban, and beisil says that you're exempt from a karban. Now, as we already point out in the Mishnah, there is a tumah derabanan that night, according to Beis Hillel, but there is no requirement to shmira, according to Beis Hillel, and therefore there is no karban requirement. Okay, so far in the Braisa, that's everything we said in the Mishnah. Now, dialogue. Amar lan Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel Mishnah Yom Yud Aleph Miyom Toch Yud Aleph. And so Beis Shammai turns to Beis Hillel and says, why are you inconsistent? Meaning you're treating day 11 as different than any days between 1 through 10. Im Shiva lo Latuma lo Liyisho lo Lekarban. And look, obviously you agree with me that the night after the 11th, she's still Tameh. She's still Tameh. And if you agree with me, she's still Tameya, so shouldn't you agree with me that there's a carbon? Now, we already know that, right, according to Beis Hillel, perfect. According to Beis Hillel, it's only Tuma de Rabbanan. And so, therefore, Beis Hillel can easily be mechalek between Tuma and carbon. So, Amar lehem Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai lo. Ima mark besoch yod alef yom shekein yom shalachar av mitzarif ima leziva. So, Beis Hillel counters very simply, and he says, look, toch yod alef, any discharge during the 11 days, meaning not day 11, but days 1 through 10, or I'll say it, day 1 through 9. I keep equivocating on day 10. You'll see why later. So if she sees any time during 1 through 9, so then you understand? The next day, if she discharges, that will be mitzarev. That will combine with the previous day. So of course the night in between, she's going to be Tameya. And she's going to be a Zava. So Tamar b'yom yalav she'en yom shalachrev mitzarev yom leziva. But if she sees only on day 11, the next day it's not Tziruf. The next day, if she discharges, that's Nida, that's not Zava. And so there's no Tziruf. So therefore, the night in between 11 and 12, it's not bridging anything together. And so therefore, her Zava has come to a conclusion on the night of the 12th. So Amar lehem Beis Shammai, Hishvu midosechem. Im shiva lo latuma, yishvu lo lekarbon. So Beis Shammai presses on Beis Hillel and says, okay, but you have to be consistent. Meaning, look, if that night between 11 and 12, the night of the 12th, if you're saying that she's still Tameya, so she should bring a carbon. They should bring a carbon. But we know you don't agree with that. We know that you're of the opinion they don't bring a carbon. So then why don't you drop the tuma? Be consistent. V'imlo shiva lo l'karbon, lo yishva lo l'tuma. And because you hold that there's no carbon that's going to be brought by this couple who have relations on the night of the 12th, so then if there's no carbon, then there should be no tuma. And can we get a consistent position out of you? Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, Amar lehem Beis Hillel, im haviuhu lidei tuma lahachmir, lo niviuhu lidei karban lahakel. So point number one says Beis Hillel back to Beis Shammai. We want to be machmir by tuma, and so what? Meaning what is the collateral damage of being machmir by tuma? There is none. Meaning the chachamim extended a tuma de rabbanan. Oh, but you want to be machmir by karban? That you can't do that. You see, if there's no karban requirement min a Torah, and the chachamim can't institute to bring a karban, because that's chulin ba'azara. So there is a clear distinction to be made regarding a tuma de rabbanan, but there's no such thing as a carbon de rabbanan. So that's why we make a distinction. Va'od. And Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, you know, you keep pressing us on our inconsistent position. Beis Hillel says back to Beis Shammai, you know, there's a little bit of that in your position as well. Va'od midivrechem atanoshchem. You're getting bitten by your very own position. Sha'atem ormen tefila, tavla yom shal achra v'shimsha v'achar kach rasa, mitame mishka v'mosha v'patur min akarban. Oh, you know, let's take your position. Your position is that there's a requirement of shmirah. Fine. So that means that when transitioning from day 11 to day 12, there has to be shmirah. Good. And so therefore, they did shmirah that night and the next morning. And the next morning, she is free of discharge. And so she tovels in the mikvah. And now they have relations at that point in time. If Beis says to Beis Shammai, I distinctly remember your camp saying that she's still tameah for the balance of the day. And at the very same time, there's not going to be a carbon requirement. Uh-huh. So that inconsistency that you keep pointing at us and accusing us of being inconsistent, so the news of the day is your position too is inconsistent. Af atem hishvu midoseichem. Im shiva lo latuma yishva lo lakarban. Vim lo shiva lo lakarban lo yishva lo latuma. And so on day 12, after having gone to the mikvah, resolving her zava, but still, for the balance of the day, you say that she's tamea. Okay, well, if she's tamea, so then a carbon should be brought. But you and I know why you're not going to bring a carbon, because she resolved her ziva. What's that tuma? Oh, it's a tuma de rabbanon for the balance of the day. Oh, so why aren't you consistent? So Beis Hill says to Beis Shammai, so you're guilty of the same thing you're accusing us of. Obviously, the tumah for the balance of the day 12, after she tovel in the mikvah, that's a tumah de rabbanan. So fine. So you're open to the idea of extending tumah de rabbanan, even though obviously there could be no karban. We're doing the same thing. We just happen to be doing it the night between 11 and 12, and you're doing it on day 12 after she tovel in the mikvah. But it's the same thing. Now, it happens to be that this seems like a death blow from Beis Hillel to Beit Shammai, meaning Beit Shammai keeps accusing, hey, you're being inconsistent, and meanwhile, Beis Hillel is 100% right. Beis Shammai is guilty of the same thing. It just happens to be at a different time period, but Beis Shammai is guilty of the same thing. Now, we don't get to hear what Beis Shammai's response is. Beis Shammai thought of that, and obviously they would have a response to that, but that's where the brisa comes to an end, and okay, so, you know, we get some of the debate, but that, you know, we don't get the full story. Okay, I'm Rav Huna. Mishkava Moshva Umoshva Shabashani Bishame Matamim Afapi Shitavla Afapi Shalorasa. Her Tumas Mishkava Moshav on her second day, meaning the day after she discharged. So according to Beit Shammai, she is Tameya, and even though she toveled, and even though she didn't see, she's going to be Tameya. Now consider what Rav Huna is saying. I want to accentuate the chiddush that he's making. She sees on day one. Okay, so now she's a zava katana. When next day she has to be shomer yom keneged yom. Fine. So she wakes up the next morning free of discharge. She has now satisfactorily observed part of the day. So for shomer yom keneged yom, we have the principle of mixas yom kekulo. She tovels in the mikvah. Fine. And let's say she has relations with her husband
during the day.
And sometime during the balance of the day. And let's even say that she didn't even discharge for the balance of the day. Rav Huna says that according to Beis Shammai, this requirement of Shmira is so strong that she's going to be Tameya for the balance of the day, even if she didn't see. And that means, of course, consequently, he's going to be Tameya because he was Baal Zava. Now, even though she didn't see. My Taima? Now, it demands an explanation. Meaning, because consider, we're talking about the day of Shemar Yom Keneged Yom. We're talking about after she toveled in the mikvah. And we're talking about sometime during the balance, even though she didn't see. That's a pretty amazing position. My Taima, and so the Gemara here gives an explanation. Kevin de Ilo Chavzi Matama Hashanami Matamya. Well, look, because potentially it could combine with the previous day. And since it has that potential, so therefore, according to Beit Shammai, she is viewed as a Zava, even for the balance of the day. Doesn't sound that way. Sounds like that according to Rav Huna, the Tuma is a Dinda Araisa.
If she has no
Right.
She's still tumah midaraisa.
It certainly sounds that way. Meaning the tumah of ziva goes away, even though she's allowed to go to the mikvah earlier that day, but nevertheless the day in total and the balance of the day has to be observed in tahara in order for her to be tahara. Yeah. The two of you are saying the same thing. That's great. Okay, good. This is talking about toch. It has nothing to do with the previous brisa. It's talking about toch yud aleph. So Amar Rav Yosef my kamash malan tanina. So the Gemara says, didn't we learn that in our Mishnah? The Mishnah v'tavla yom shalachar v'shim shas beisa v'achar kach rasa b'shamay armi mitama mishkevos moshevos u'petura min a karban. Now, didn't we see this position of Beit Shammai in our Mishnah, where Beit Shammai said in the Mishnah that the next day she's still going to be Metam Mishka Vamoshev? So I'm Rav Kahana Rasa Shani. So Rav Kahana said, no, that doesn't support Rav Huna. That's talking about a scenario where she actually saw the next day. You understand that Rav Huna is saying a Chiddush Atzum. Rav Huna is saying that even if she didn't see, she's still going to be Tameya. So I'm Rav Yosef Echi Rasa Maiha Veriya Denidahi. And Rav Yosef says, I don't even understand. Meaning the Mishnah scenario that you just pointed to, no, that's day 12. Day 12 is not Yemei Ziva. Day 12 is Yemei Nida. That's a Nida discharge. I don't even understand why you bring in the Mishnah. Amle Abayla Rav Yosef Rav Kahana Hachi Kakashalei. Bishlam Eichad Derasa Gazrin Aria Denida Turia Dezava. So the Gemara says, okay, so you understand that if she sees on day 12, that's a Aria of Nida, but the Chachamim were goes there because it would lead to a Aria of Ziva. Ela Eichad Delo Rasa My Nigzarba. But if she didn't see, so then what's the gzera? So the ode to Tanan, and the Gemara says, and furthermore, let's put together a couple of Mishnayos and Braisos, and by putting the Mishnayos and Braisos together, you'll see that Rav Huna's position is not really supportable. Okay, so first we start with the Mishnah in Masechta Zavim. Masechta Zavim later in Seder Taharos. Okay, we don't get to learn it together as part of the Daf Yomi, but the Mishnah, it's the first Mishnah in Masechta Zavim. The Mishnah says, Haro Re'iya Acha Shel Zav. So, the first discharge of a man who has a Zav discharge. Okay, for a man who has a Zav discharge, let's go over the rules really quickly. You have one discharge as a man, so you are a Zav, but a minor Zav. And so therefore there's no requirement to Shiv Nikim, there's no carbon requirement. Let's say you have two consecutive discharges. Now, a man is notably different than women in many different ways, but one of them is that with a man discharged, so his two discharges count as two, even if they occur in the same day. A woman's discharge only is numerically counting only when there are different days. They have to be consecutive days, but they have to be on different days. A man doesn't have to be on different days. A man can have a discharge and then later that day have another discharge, and that counts as two. Okay, fine. So if a man has two discharges of Zav, so then he is now a Zav Gadol. He's a major Zav, and he has to count Shiv and Akiyam. There's still going to be a difference between two and three. If a man sees a third discharge, so then he's not only going to have to count Shiv and Akiyam, but he's also going to have to bring a carbon as well. Okay, so for a man, there's a distinction of having one discharge, two discharges, or three discharges. Furthermore, for a man who having one discharge, he is that the actual issue itself, the actual discharge itself, is only metame bimaga, only with contact, just like keri. As opposed to having a second discharge, where now he's a major zav, and the actual discharge itself, the ziva itself, is metame bimaga uvimasa, both with contact and with carrying. Okay. So, haro riyah acha shel zav. So, after the first discharge of zav of a man, Beit Shammai armim kishomer siyom keneged yom. So, Beit Shammai says that he's going to be treated like a shomer siyom keneged yom. Meaning, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens. It'd be no different than a woman having to wait and see what happens the next day. Now, again, notable difference is that for a man, it doesn't have to be the next day. It can even be the same day. But we're using the concept of a woman, shmira shomer siyom keneged yom, and simply applying it now to that of a man. And Beis Hillel says it's Kabal Keri. Now you understand what the difference is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, meaning everyone's of course in agreement that with the second discharge, so now things have changed. The only question now becomes, do we also go back retroactively? Meaning according to Beis Shammai, because now he had a second discharge within a day's time, so that now that means that of course for the second discharge, it's now he's a major Zav, and the Zav discharge itself is Metame B'Maga B'Masa, but according to Beit Shammai, that even goes back to the first discharge as well. Meaning the first discharge has now retroactively proven to be a discharge of a major Zav. And so therefore, according to Beit Shammai, we work back retroactively, and the original Zav discharge also is Metame B'Maga B'Masa. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, no. Beis Hillel is of the position that, number two, of course, there's a major Zav discharge. But it does not affect whatsoever the status of the first Zav discharge. The first Zav discharge is still considered a minor Zav discharge. And it's only Metame Bemaga, not Bemaga Uvemasa. I know I said that quickly, but that's the basic machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel vis-a-vis a man having a discharge. Fine. That's one Mishnah. Now, let's keep that Mishnah in mind. Now let's learn a brisa together as we turn to the Amud Beis. The brisa starts off with Tanya. We learned on a brisa Hamesit as a Re'iya. Beit Shammai Omrim Tolan Beit Hillel Mitarim. And so this brisa over here now is just highlighting the very point that we just made. Let's say the person carries the actual discharge itself that was issued the first time by this man. So according to Beit Shammai, what do we do now? We're Tola. We have to wait. Now he didn't touch it. He just carried it. So is he Tameh? So according to Beit Shammai, well, we have to see. Meaning, because if this man has a second discharge, so now not only is he a major Zav, but going back to the first Zav discharge, that too also is going to be a major Zav. And so therefore, he's Tameh. As opposed to Beis Hillel, who says, no, Tahor. Because Beis Hillel says, two is a major discharge, but we don't go back retroactively. And we don't look back at the first discharge and now give that any kind of new status. Okay? Now, continuing in the Braisa, Mishkavos Moshavos Shebein Riya Rishon LaRiya Shnia B'Shamay Tolim V'Yisalam Matarim. Let's say they sit on a chair anytime between 1 and 2. So now, what do we say? So according to Beit Shammai, we're going to say the same thing, which is Taliyah. Well, we'll see. Meaning, if number 2, if he has a second discharge, so then we go back retroactively. And since now, retroactively, he now proves to be a major Zav, so that goes back even to the first discharge as well. And anything he sits on or lies down on in between is going to be Tamei, as if a major Zav has sat down on it. Masha Ein Kein, according to Beis Hillel, no. Only from 2 and onward is there going to be Tumas Mishkav Moshav, but we don't work back retroactively. Okay, now, V'katani Reisha Aroa Re'iyam Acha Shel Zav. Now, we learned in the beginning that the first Riyah of Zov, Beit Shammai Armim Kishomer Yom Keneged Yom. Now, according to Beit Shammai, what paradigm do we use when looking at this man who had a discharge between 1 and 2? So the paradigm that he uses is Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Ama Shomer Yom Keneged Yom LeBeit Shammai Tolan. So what do you see? That according to Beit Shammai, his paradigm of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom means let's wait and see. Which means now that not like Rav Huna. Remember what Rav Huna said? That according to Beit Shammai, for the balance of the day, she is Tameya. That was Rav Huna's Shita within Beit Shammai. No. For the balance of the day, we're only waiting to see if she discharges, because if she does, then we're going to go back retroactively and now combine day 2 and day 1. But if she does not, so then she is Tahora from the time that she toveled in the mikvah. So you see that Rav Huna's position is not a supportable position. Because when Beit Shammai uses the term to describe a man who had a discharge between 1 and 2, he's using the paradigm of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So obviously, that means only if they saw and not Tmeya just for the rest of the day. So lo tema Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, ela ema kebol Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So in defense of Rav Huna, here's what we're going to say. That when Beis Hillel was using the paradigm, sorry. When Beit Shammai was using the paradigm Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, he said it slightly imprecisely, or it was recorded slightly imprecisely, either way. But he only meant it's like the man who had relations with the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Where by the man who has relations Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, he is only Tameh if she sees. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Now I'm so confused. So you're telling me that for the woman, she's Tameh for the balance of the day, but for the man, only if she sees. Well, what's the difference? That's the Gemara's question. Maishna iu de lo mitame mishkav moshav maishna ihi de mitame yale. Well, that doesn't make sense. She's going to be tamei for the rest of the day, and the man who has relations with her after she goes to the mikvah is only going to be tamei if she sees. Why should it be different? So ihu de lo shchicha beidamim lo gazer beirabanan. Ihi de shchicha beidamim gazer beirabanan. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, by him, obviously, he's not discharging blood. His crime, so to say, is he had relations with a woman who could be discharging blood, but he himself does not discharge blood. So therefore, the Chachamim did not slap a Tumah de Rabbanan on him. But she, on the other hand, who potentially could discharge the blood, so therefore the Chachamim slapped the Tumat Rabbanan upon her. Which, by the way, gives us now new insight into Rav Huna. When Rav Huna was saying that she was Tumeya for the rest of the day, Rav Huna was not saying on a Daraisa level. Rav Huna was only saying on a Durabana level, she will be Tumeya for the rest of the day. It's exactly the point. Meaning, he's not in a position where he's going to be discharging. His Tumah is coming as a result of him having relations with her. And so therefore, for him, the Chachamim were not gozer the rest of the day. Now it sounds like the Gemara is asking the same exact question again and going to give the same exact answer again. There are subtle differences between the first round and the second round. I'm not going to go through it right now. But anyway, I'll just read the Gemara. And it sounds like basically the Gemara is making the same point. Where because she could discharge again, therefore the Chachamim branded her a Tumah Derabanan for the remainder of that day, whereas he, who is not going to be discharging, so therefore the Chachamim did not give him a Tumah for the balance of the day. Okay, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Tavla Yom Shel Achra V'Shimsha, if let's say she Tavla the day afterwards and they have relations, or is it Tarbus Ra'a, Manganu B'Lasam Teluyin. Now, we're talking about Tochid Aleph, within the 11 days, where she had a Zava discharge. And now the next day, she wakes up in the morning, she's free of discharge, she Tovels in the mikvah. And they have relations after she Tovels in the mikvah, but the day's not over. Now the Mishnah says, what is that? Really poor decision making. The Mishnah says it's Tarbus Ra'a. You're in the bad crowd now. Okay. You should not be having relations after she went to the mikvah. Why? The Mishnah says because everything now is Teluyin. It's all suspended. Because if she's going to actually discharge later that day, it negates her tefillah. It now combines with the previous day. She's a zavar for that day. So you're playing, like I said earlier, you're playing halachic Russian roulette. Okay, and so therefore it does not, it is really improper behavior. Now, that sense that you get from the Mishnah is what? That after she told in the mikvah, she's tahara. It just happens to be that if she sees later that day, then she'll be tameya. Now, this position in the Mishnah is reflecting whose opinion? So certainly Beis Hillel, but the way the Mishnah presents it, it sounds like it's both positions. Now, if it's both positions, what has that just taught us? That Rav Huna doesn't seem to be right. Meaning, because Rav Huna was arguing that according to Beis Shammai, she will be Tameya for the balance of the day, even if she doesn't see. This Mishnah that we just quoted, the Mishnah we started our morning with, seems to indicate, no, that she is Tahora even according to Beis Shammai. And that's the Gemara's point. My love, divrei hakol hi. So the Gemara says, "Lo Beis Hillel hi." Now, the defense of the Gemara for Rav Huna, it's strange. It's hard to understand. You go back to the Mishnah. It certainly sounds like in the Mishnah that it's going according to both. Okay, but the Gemara is defending Rav Huna. D'tanya, Amalem Rav Yehuda la Beis Hillel. Now, the Girsa in our Gemara is Rav Yehuda speaking to Beis Hillel. That's very difficult. Rav Yehuda was a late Tana. All right, much later. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were early Tanaim. It's not Shammai and Hillel, it's the students of, but still, that's much earlier. Okay, fine. So, and the Gaon changes the gear, so the Gaon corrects it to Beis Shammai. Amalem Beis Shammai Beis Hillel v'chi lezu atem korim tarbas rava alol neskavim zeh ela lebol es anida. So, Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, you're calling this tarbas ra'a? And meanwhile, he was bol anida. Now the Gemara says, nida, wait one second, what? We're talking about tochid aleph. So nida zagadach ela ema libol sazava. Okay, so the Gemara just does a quick editing. It's not nida zazava. So zava zagadacha. So the Gemara says, now he's not having relations with the zava. Because remember, she woke up in the morning, she was free of discharge, she told him the mikvah. So it's not exactly a zava. Ela ema libol shomer yom keneged yom. Oh, so she's having relations with shomer yom keneged yom. Which means the act itself, even before we discover anything later on, the act itself is improper behavior, because she's still a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, even though she woke up in the morning free of discharge, even though she told in the mikvah, she still has a label, a status of a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom for the balance of the day. Okay, albeit, as we now discovered, albeit Midrabanan, but still. Okay, so this Brisa has in fact shown us that yes, after she goes to the mikvah, on the day of Shmira, on the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom day, even though she has gone to the mikvah, Beis Shammai still has a status for her. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, she has no status. But having relations with her is very risky behavior. Because if she does in fact discharge in the balance of the day, it negates her tefillah. She's a continuation of Zava from yesterday. All that's true. But after toveling in the mikvah, she is nothing. She has no status whatsoever. So you see that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree about this very point. Okay. Yeah. Right. That's a good place to stop, to pause. Okay, so let's quickly recap. The Mishnah brings down a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel when she saw on day 11. Day 11 now transitioning to day 12. The night in between, Beit Shammai says there's shmir is required. Beit Hillel says no shmir is required. Still, according to Beit Hillel, they are not to have relations that evening, but fundamental machlokes whether shmir is required, machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. According to Beit Shammai, that means that the night of the 12th, so even if she tovels in the mikvah, she's still a zava, he's bowl a zava, they're going to have to bring a carbon if it was done bishogeg. That's all on the night of. What about the next morning where she was free and clear of discharge the next morning, and so she was, in fact, shomeres yom. Again, shomeres yom mixes yom kikulo, and she tovels in the mikvah, so the next morning, so Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel will say that she's no longer a zava, but according to Beit Hillel, there still would be a tumah that would continue for the balance of the day, midrabanan. Beit Hillel still does not condone having relations on day 12, even though she toveled in the mikvah, because the wording of Beit Hillel is that that's the behavior of a gargaron, just a characteristically greedy person. The next scenario in the Mishnah is what about Tochyot Aleph? Any day during the 11 days. Day number 10 is where we're going to start off tomorrow. So let leave day 10 out of the discussion right now. She sees days 1 through 9. So the next day, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So everyone's in agreement that she is still a Zava until the next morning, where she has to successfully see a clean morning and she has to tovel the mikvah. So any time between yesterday and this morning, before she tovel the mikvah, she's a Zava. Everyone agrees to that. Relations between the two of them before having tovel in the mikvah is relations of a man and a zava. It's an issur d'oraisa. The only point, that's the point of agreement. And another point of agreement is that if they have relations after she tovel in the mikvah, that's tarbas ra. That's really improper behavior, because if she does see later in the day, so then that negates her tefillah, and she now is a zava, retroactive to going back to yesterday. And so that's why having relations later in that day is really improper behavior. Although, we just learned together, based on Rav Huna's position, and the Gemara has a brisa that supports it, that here there is still slight disagreement between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel says that after she tovels on the mikvah on the day of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, she has no status whatsoever. Whereas according to Beit Shammai, she still is Tameya for the balance of the day.